I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So if it's in the world, faith can overcome it.
Amen.
And like we'd said before, you know, if you're feeling hopeless and helpless and weak and defeated, it's not because the problem can't be fixed. God can fix anything. It's the problem is a lack of faith. Hopelessness reveals no faith. Confusion and being full of fear shows no faith. But don't despair if that's where you are. Just joining us today is a big step in the right direction. Hallelujah. Because you're going to hear some things that's going to help change that. Mm-hmm. Not that I think so. I know so. Not because what I'm saying, because I'm going to say what he said.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. In the word. And that, those words will change your life. No question. So Father, all of us agree together today as touching this, asking for the utterance, asking for the anointing, asking for the direction and quickening and help of your Holy Spirit. Enable every one of us, Lord, to see, to hear, to discern, to receive. Thank you for building us up, making us stronger, enabling us to lay hold of your highest and best to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Look with me again at Psalm 23. This has been our master text in our series we're calling Faith for Provision. And when I say faith, I mean faith in God. Faith in God for provision. And we're in the process of giving 30 scripture reasons why we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Big statement, all-inclusive statement. You got to decide for yourself if that's true or not. If you say, well, I just don't know if I'm sure about that, that's why I'm saying reason number one, he's our shepherd, right?
Yes.
He's number two, he's our father, he's a good God, on and on. And if you respect the word, then you should acknowledge what he said. Amen.
Amen.
And if you say, well, I don't believe that, you should examine why you don't. Well, I just believe that sometimes God uses poverty to teach us something. What's that belief based on? Where did you get that belief? Did the Lord say that? Did he tell you that's what he wants to do? You better examine it, because everything you hear in church or from religion or from preachers is not the same as thus saith the Lord. One of the most evil, destructive things on the earth is man's religion.
Amen.
It, Jesus said it has made the word of God of no effect in people's lives.
Wow.
You got to watch about believing what people say, even if they're behind a pulpit. No matter how many letters are behind their name, where did they get it? Right? You got to remember, everybody that you're around in this life, they've been alive that long.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Even the old ones. How much do they really know? How much they learn? And a lot of them hadn't even been around the Word of God to learn the Word of God.
Yeah.
So they really don't know much. And sometimes what they learned in university was wrong, wrong, wrong.
Amen.
Completely contrary to what God said. Do yourself a favor. Get your little nose in this book Right? And find out what he said. And yes, you can understand it. Because the author of the book lives inside the Christian.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you might say, well, it's a whole lot there. Yeah, it's a whole lot there. But he is the master teacher. He knows how to take something you couldn't begin to wrap your head around and break it down into parts and pieces and language and illustrations you can get.
Yes. Yes.
And understand.
Yes.
And if you listen to him, you'll get it.
Amen.
You'll get it.
Yeah,
you need to believe you can learn and understand. But first and foremost, you need to have faith in his ability to show it to you.
Amen.
Everybody said out loud, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit
is my guide.
Is my guide.
And my teacher.
And my teacher.
He knows how to teach me. And help me.
Help me.
To understand. Glory to God. And he knows, and he does, and he is. So we looked at reason number one, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Number two, the goodness of God. Number three, the fatherhood of God. Number four, the creation of God. Number five, God's will in heaven. Number six, the God of Abraham. Abraham knew a God who made him rich. Has God changed?
No.
No, he never changes. Number seven, we are the seed of Abraham, and his blessing belongs to us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Verse 8, the blessing of tithing. According to the scriptures, you don't honor God and tithe and stay broke.
That's right.
Mm-mm. That's not what scriptures teach. And we're down to number nine. Honor and riches, or you could say riches and glory. Now, I know that sounds strange to some people, because to some they think, well, riches is a natural, common, even a profane thing, and honor, that's a spiritual thing. So you shouldn't even say those two in the same sentence. It wasn't me that said it in the same sentence. It was the Lord. Over and over and over again. And that's what we're looking at in 1 Samuel 2 and 30, talking about offerings. The Lord said, them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And he was talking about honoring the Lord with offerings, with money, with stuff. They actually were disrespecting him in the offerings, and he was telling them that they weren't going to be honored and they weren't going to get to continue in his things because of how they had abused and lied and stolen and mismanaged his things. The word honor literally means heavy or weighty. And to honor something means you attach great value to it. You'll see that in the rest of the verse it says, those that despise me will be lightly esteemed, using that word instead of the word honor. Those that honor me, I will honor. Those that, despise me, and that's what despise means. Despise means the opposite of valuing. If you despise something, it means you see it as insignificant. And sometimes in our modern vernacular, we've used the word despise and disgust interchangeably, but they're not the same word, and it's not the same thought. You don't have to be disgusted by something to despise it. Just ignoring something is despising it. Treating it like it doesn't even deserve your attention. Right? You don't even notice it or acknowledge it. That's despising, which means you esteem it not. You're treating it like it's nothing, insignificant. And so God treats everybody the way they treat him. That's what he said. Honor me, I'll honor you. If you despise me, you will be lightly esteemed, treated as nothing. Now that's fair, because who chose how you're going to respect God?
Yes, sir.
You know, that's completely fair. And so if you've got no time for God, you'll have no time in His things and being used of Him. If you speak ill of His things, your name won't be good. You won't be esteemed. You reap what you sow. Hmm? Oh, but if you respect Him, if you reverence Him, and you reverence His things, He said, I will honor you. Can you count on the Word of God? If He said He would do it, will He do it?
Yes, He will.
He said, you honor me. Then can you take it to the bank? Can you count on it?
Yes.
As surely as I honor Him, He's going to honor me. And part of what He's including in this is the material, the financial. Because the whole thing was about offerings. If you honor Him with offerings, how's that going to look of Him honoring you? Well, we know numerous scriptures like good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Would that be the Lord honoring you?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And it affects so many things. Let's say there's challenging times in your area, economy and this and that, but you tithe anyway.
Right.
And you honor God and you put His things first ahead of your things.
That's right. Yes.
Can you see that?
Yes.
And then He blesses you and prospers you. And when other people are going out of business, you open another branch.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, can you see this?
Yes.
That's God honoring you.
Yes.
When other people, you know, some kind of disease took out their crop, yours didn't. Others dried up because of drought, you got rained on. And there was no rain a half mile away. These things happen.
Yes.
I said, these things happen.
Yes.
And it's God honoring those that honor Him. Now, it's not, you know, God paying you back. That's not what it is. But it's just He's allowed to do things. He wants to do these kind of things for everybody. But if you despise Him and reject Him and blaspheme Him, does He owe you protection and help? No, He doesn't. In fact, He can't put His stamp of approval on that. He can't, even though He cares about Him. Oh, but if you'll honor Him. I said, if you'll honor Him. That's what he's talking about with the tithe that we talked about in our last point. He said, bring all the tithes into my storehouse and prove me now herewith if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing that there won't be room to receive. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Is He saying, put me first, show some respect, and let me do something for you. Right? Can you see that? Well, that's the very picture of windows of heaven opened. When you honored Him. You honored Him with the tithe. And putting Him first in those things. And that allowed Him a window. That windows give access.
Amen.
That allowed Him access and entrance into your things and your life.
Amen.
How many, and I'm looking in the camera now, how many want God all up in your business? You want Him? I mean, your personal business, your family business. Your body business, your mind business, your emotion business, your business,
yes.
Money business.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Come on, somebody say, God, I want you,
all in my business.
Well, what's required of us for that to happen? We need to honor Him. I said we need to honor Him. During COVID, I was praying. I saw, you know, see people hurting in different ways and places. And in prayer at one point, I'm asking the Lord about it. And He interrupted me and said this. Now, I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but very distinctly inside me. He said, Keith, people are continually asking me for things. Don't you know that's true?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, worldwide.
Right.
And of course, during COVID, right? He said people everywhere. He might have said everywhere. People, all over are continually, I remember that, continually asking me for things. And he went on to say, he said, but many of them are not interested at all in my things. Not interested in my things at all. They only want him to help them with their things. That's not okay. Because I didn't make myself. You didn't make yourself. We don't just exist for ourselves. Revelation says for his pleasure.
Yes.
Right? We are created.
Yes.
And so that's why Jesus taught us to pray, you know, in Matthew 6, to begin by saying, your kingdom come, your will be done.
Amen.
You start with that. Why? Because without an attachment to his will and his plan, my stuff is meaningless. My life is meaningless. Without, you know, living and breathing and doing what he made me to do. Now, you can choose something else. You can waste your whole life and never find and do the will of God. Millions are doing it. They live and die and never find and fulfill what God made them to be and do. But it also limits God from honoring them. If they don't honor him, he can't honor them and bless them. Has no right to do it. It'd be wrong to do it. Right? Set a wrong precedent, be a wrong example.
Yeah.
So many ways of being wrong. Oh, but if you'll honor him.
Hallelujah.
In this dark world of sin and death and evil, darkness, if you'll raise up a head and say, God, here I am. Use me as you will. I honor you. I choose to put your things first, above all, your word is first place and final authority in my life. And I pray like the Master, not my will, but your will be done. I seek your will, your plan. I delight to do your will. See, these things are honoring him. And if you do that, he will show you.
Yes, he will.
He will show you what you are to do, where you are in your place. And when you do it, when you act on it, windows of heaven. Hallelujah. God has open access, straight line to cause things out of heaven to flow into the earth to you.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Including riches.
Yes.
Resources. And in Proverbs 3, we saw this. Look at it again. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. We're talking about honor and riches. He said, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. Now, the word honor, that same word, is translated glorify in the same King James Bible. And the word substance, some 17 times, is translated riches or wealth. And if you look at the scriptures, it's obvious he's talking about money,
yes,
stuff, silver riches, gold riches, those material riches. So you could say it like this, glorify the Lord with your wealth, with your riches, and the first fruits of all your increase, and so your barns will be filled with plenty. You honored him with your substance, your stuff, your money, your offerings, your wealth, your riches. That's one of the reasons why you tithe and give offerings. It's an acknowledging that you couldn't have any riches if it wasn't for God. He's your source.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you couldn't have the brightness of mind to get out of bed and even go anywhere, do anything without God himself.
Yes.
is giving you your every breath, sustaining you every bit of consciousness, every microsecond, helping you. It's His gravity holding your feet to the ground. It's His sun shining on your little face. It's His oxygen you're breathing. Come on, can you say amen?
Amen.
And there should be some way that we acknowledge that. And we go, God, I wouldn't have any money if it wasn't for You. And so, like you said, the tithe, the tenth part, belongs to You. So here, I gladly honor You with the tithe, and here's some of mine. Here's some offering. Hallelujah. Tithes and offerings, honoring Him with your wealth, honoring Him with your riches. And then what does He do according to this verse? He honors you by causing your investments, your crops to flourish 30, 60, 100-fold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rebuking the devourer. Disease doesn't consume your flocks or your herds or your investments. The thief can't steal it, can't destroy it. And so you prosper and you increase until you run out of room in your accounts. You run out of room in your barns and your storehouses and your presses. But you don't just only make bigger barns. You give. You give. You sow. You invest. Is this a picture of a righteous man or woman? A blessed man or woman? A man or woman that honors God and that God honors. Is there a connection between honor and wealth?
Yes.
Honor and riches.
Yes.
Now in Psalm 96, go there if you would. Psalm 96 and verse 1. Notice this. He said, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day." Now, salvation is from the root word save. And what that is you are showing and telling how God saved you every day. What He saved you from. Hallelujah. And how He saved you. Verse 3, declare His what?
Glory
among the heathen. His wonders among all people. There are times you need to tell it, whether people like it or not. Whether they believe in it or not, is that right? Just say, hey, if you don't like it, roll your window up. You know what I mean? But God's done too much for me, right? For me to hide it or be quiet. I'm certainly not embarrassed or ashamed of it. So declare His glory. Verse 4, why? For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, nothing. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor, everybody say honor.
Honor.
Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give to the Lord what?
Glory
and strength. Verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering.
Yeah.
Huh? See, a lot of people, they try to separate that. They go, oh, no, don't bring up offering when you're talking about the glory of God. I didn't write this. Huh? You didn't write this. Is this inspired word of God or not?
Yes.
What's that got to do with glorifying God? Bringing an offering? And glorifying God? Well, we just got through reading Proverbs 3, right? Honor the Lord. Glorify the Lord with your substance, with your wealth, with your riches. Is there a connection between the two? Can you glorify God in your words? Even if they're imperfect. God knows your heart. Right? Can you honor God in your actions?
Yes.
Can you honor God in your material things?
Yes.
With your substance?
Yes.
With your financial ability?
Yes.
material ability. And don't say it doesn't matter, because the reason people are fussing about it, not doing it, is because it matters. It matters to them, right? Oh, it matters. And what you do or won't do with your money is a big revealer of your heart. And that's why people get so mad and so upset about it, is because it's revealing a heart problem in them, that they care more about the money than they do God. And it's just a harsh reality. In fact, if you won't give, if you won't tithe, you won't do these things, people argue and try to say, well, I just don't believe it, or I believe it's like this or that. But if they were honest, it's about the money. Yeah. It's just about the money. And by being a willing giver and putting God's things ahead of your things when it comes to spending. Right. Now that shows your heart,
yes,
right?
Does.
You don't do this if you don't really believe it. And it reveals a heart that really loves God. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. You know, the scripture said the Lord told them in the Old Testament to appear before Him three times every year. And notice what He kept saying. Exodus 23:15, He said, you'll keep this feast at the appointed time. And He said, none shall appear before me empty. Exodus 34:20, He said it again, and none shall appear before me empty. What does that mean? Bring an offering. Deuteronomy 16:16, He said, three times a year you'll appear before the Lord in the place He shall choose. And He mentions the feast, and He says, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which He has given you. Does it matter?
Yes. Yes.
That you honor the Lord not just with your words, but with your deeds.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Including your money,
yes,
your substance, your wealth and riches. And whatever a man sows, that's what he'll reap. Then God will honor you. Hallelujah. And that got nothing to do with being broke in poverty, right? I mean, God honoring you, blessing you, multiplying it back to you, and being with you everywhere you go and giving you protection and victory. How many want God honoring you? Isn't it? Oh yeah, every step of the way. But it's in direct response to us honoring Him. Well, our time's up again. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390